Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Professor Shane Higgins, consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist at the National Maternity Hospital, is with us here this Wednesday for Making Babies. 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number for your questions. You're here to talk to us about the fourth trimester today, something we haven't talked about before.
No. Good afternoon, Andrea.
Yeah,
so the fourth trimester is a term that's been coined relatively recently, and it refers to the first 12 weeks after the birth of the baby. But from an obstetric midwifery point of view, I suppose we focus more on the first 6 weeks after the birth of the baby. And it's about, you can look at it from the perspective of mum and baby, and I don't know enough about babies to discuss them in that sort of detail. But from mum's perspective, huge changes taking place. All the physiological changes that took place during pregnancy, like the increase in circulating volume, other physiological changes, they all have to reverse. The effects of the hormone production by the placenta, that's all reversed as well. So, you know, taking it from day one, there's always the physical element of what the mum has gone through by way of the birth. May have some sutures, whether it's perineal sutures or a cesarean section scar. So she has to be mindful of the healing process for that scar and not putting it under too much pressure, tension, stress, certainly in the first few weeks of life. Diet, nutrition, mental health, mental well-being, sleep, bonding with the baby, all of these things.
Yeah.
And it's not that she's necessarily in control of all of them. It's like the hormonal changes that reverse once the placenta is delivered, they are there. They just happen. And you know, people talk about the baby blues and they talk about how long should that last before you have to start to worry about it.
Some of what you've mentioned, we've touched on and heard
absolutely.
About here in the programme today. But is there a reason this has been kind of overlooked?
As I said, it's a relatively new phrase that's been coined, and people think that as soon as the baby's born and the placenta is delivered, everything goes back to normal. That's absolutely far from the case. I mean, patients can't get up after they've delivered a baby and suddenly go out and start jogging and running and exercising and going to the gym. And it's a phase of your life. And this is almost as much being a father and now a grandfather that I know I'm aware of this, where you know, your eating habits don't immediately return to normal. You're not able to cook and do all the things that you want to do as far as your diet is concerned. So you have to be consciously paying attention to eating healthily, eating regularly, remaining well hydrated, the really simple things. But it's so important for you to allow you to regain your strength and recover from any insult injury by way of a perineal injury, a tear or an episiotomy or a cesarean section or whatever it might be. You'd need to look after yourself.
And for most of those things that you've mentioned, will the medics be aware of that in the labour room at the time, or like when will there be the realisation that you have some of those conditions you mentioned?
Well, I'm not sure there's enough time spent talking to patients about the immediate postpartum period. I think people are discharged from hospital with a baby.
Yeah.
You're asked all about things like, you know, are you breastfeeding? Are you bottle feeding? Is it a combination? These are important things, but I think patients need to focus very much on their own health, well-being and recovery from the birth of a baby. And that's something that takes that. That's why it's 6 to 12 weeks. And postnatal visits aren't scheduled until 6 weeks. To allow your caregiver to assess, have you made that appropriate recovery from the birth of the baby, physically, mentally, emotionally? They're all very important and very relevant.
Any particular red flag? And I know you mentioned that with
the red flag would be postnatal,
the postnatal
blues. And again, our psychiatric colleagues would say if anything lasts more than 2 weeks beyond the birth of a baby, that's a red flag. That's something you need to bring to the attention
anything
of
2 weeks.
Anything more, well, no, mental health issues that last more than 2 weeks. The physical recovery will take weeks, months. We don't encourage patients to go back to gyms until at least 6 weeks post-birth. But that doesn't mean they can't go out and start exercising. They can go for walks. They have a baby in a pram. They can push the baby in the pram. They can start to do those types of activities. But from a mental health perspective, it's a two-week period post-birth.
What are the signs the family should look out for?
Low mood, poor bonding with the baby, appetite, so sleep disturbance. These are the key features of a persistent mental health issue that needs to be addressed. So, you know, if the patient isn't sleeping and if they're constantly tired and fatigued, if they're not eating well, if they don't seem like they're bonding with the baby, these are absolute red flags. Or their mood is particularly low.
Yeah.
And it is often, and it's a very good point you made, it's often the partner or other family members that pick up on this.
Or the friends, maybe, yeah. Close family nearby. Yeah. Listener here, due their first baby in 3 weeks' time. They've heard of the baby blues, all right, but is there a big difference between baby blues and postnatal depression?
Well, it might not be that there's a big difference in terms of the symptoms, but it's the duration. If you, a lot of patients will experience baby blues. Those hormonal changes that take place in the first 5, 7, 10 days can be quite overwhelming, and they can often lead the patient to feeling quite low, teary, emotional. But if they go on beyond that 2 weeks, that's a critical point. And if they do, you're better off going at least to your general, not at least your general, first of all to your GP, and to see if you need additional care.
Yeah. Interesting text here, Shane, from this listener, and fair play to them for getting in touch, but to say, I find I'm actually been really hard on myself as a new mum. I can't get over seeing people on social media, going out for walks, meeting family. I'm now 3 weeks postpartum. I've only gotten dressed about a handful of times. My husband is off work at the moment. We're just trying to survive. Is there any way I can take the pressure off?
I think it is. You're absolutely right. Yeah. It's a very honest text. I think, you know, I would ignore, I tell patients to ignore a lot of what's out there in terms of social media.
Delete
Instagram for a while if that's the best thing for you, because you're seeing the best of everything. And there is a spectrum of recovery from I'm feeling great on day one to I'm feeling dreadful on day 20. And I think that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. There's anything wrong with your experience at birth or your bonding with your baby. I just think if you feel your mood is low, if you feel like physically you're not able for anything, of course there may be rational reasons for that. You might be anemic, you might be deficient in iron, and these are things that can be checked by your GP. But it involves engaging with your caregivers, your public health nurses coming out to you for those first days, 2 weeks after the birth of the baby. Your GP is on hand, your hospital is on hand. If you and your partner think that there is something not quite right, that you're not recovering as you think, and bear in mind, you might be. It just might take a little bit longer for some people. I see patients back at their 6 week check who are far from fully recovered from the birth of their baby, but they're absolutely normal. So don't think there's anything wrong with you. But if you've concerned, check it out.
What about pelvic health and the recovery needed there or required there?
Yeah, again, you know, you will have been instructed on the exercises that you can do to help promote pelvic floor strength. There's a limit to the amount of that you can do in those first weeks, particularly if you're sore and uncomfortable, you've had stitches or you've had a cesarean section. But as soon as you feel physically able to start doing those exercises in earnest, you should. And when you go back and see your obstetrician or your GP at 6 weeks, you should ask them about, well, what can I do now? And I just say to my patients, you absolutely can go back to the gym. You can go back to exercising if that's something you want to do, but you need to gradually reintroduce it into your program of exercise. You can't just immediately go back out and do things. There are some exercises that are really good for cardiovascular fitness, swimming, cycling. You don't have to go out running immediately if that's not something you feel you're up to, but there are other things that you can do to, you know, try and help promote cardiovascular fitness. And I certainly think that patients should do that. As far as the pelvic floor is concerned, you need to work really hard. Seeing a women's health physio in those first, you know, 2 months after the birth of the baby might be very much in your best interest, so that they can give you good directed instruction as to how to maximise your pelvic floor strength.
Just other texts on this as well. It's really interesting, Shane. I'm due my baby in August. I'm just wondering, how long will the bleeding last after giving birth?
Again, very variable, and patients will stop bleeding a fortnight after the birth of the baby. Some patients will still have spotting 6 weeks after the birth. It's very variable. Things to look out for in terms of, is there a concern? If you feel the bleeding is getting less and less over a period of time, and that every 2 or 3 days you can say to yourself, yes, it's less today than it was 2 or 3 days ago, then you're going in the right direction. It typically tails off to brown spotting by the time you get to 4 to 6 weeks after the birth of the baby. The red flag would be if you think it's settling and then suddenly you get a big increase in the amount of loss, or you start to pass clots, or you start to become unwell, systemically unwell, so hot, shivery, pain in your lower abdomen, tender in your lower abdomen, they're the red flags that you should say, okay, yeah, I wonder now if there's something, if I have an infection, have I got some retained tissue, should I go back to the hospital?
So that's when you go back. Yeah. And two other quick questions. Listener has an eighth week old baby. They find they're so worried all of the time, Shane, constantly checking on his breathing. Is it normal, or how do I know this is over the top?
I think if you've taken, look, let's say you're at home, you're worried, but you shouldn't be constantly worried. You shouldn't find yourself constantly worrying about the baby's breathing. If you've got a concern, go to your GP. You can get apnea monitors. You can get monitors over the side of your cot. And I'm not encouraging patients to do it because it'll drive you even more paranoid. If the baby is behaving well, if it's feeding well, if it's sleeping well, if it's doing dirty nappies, wet nappies, if all the checks to date have been fine, then you shouldn't be worried about the baby's breathing.
And finally, are there specific vitamins, supplements, best recommended foods postpartum?
Yeah, well, a healthy diet, first of all. Things that you might feel you need to, depending on what your hemoglobin was when you were discharged from the hospital, you might feel, right, I still need to take iron. You should have been instructed one way or the other to do that. But a lot of the companies now that do antenatal vitamins do a postnatal supplement, ProCeve, Pregnacare. They all do postnatal supplements, which you don't absolutely need to take. And if you have a healthy, well-balanced diet, you certainly don't. But if you want to, as I say, dot I's, cross T's, that's something you can take.
Professor Shane Higgins, consultant, obstetrician and gynaecologist at the National Maternity Hospital. Shane, thanks a million for joining us this Wednesday for Making Babies.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.